On the Big Breakfast Catch-Up with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber, we asked you about the hilarious ways you taught your kids a lesson.
Lockie Neal from the Dockers has no idea what's going on at the club.
Oh, that's handy, isn't it? And we cross live to our South African cricket expert, Rudy Van Smeetens, to talk all things Sandpapergate.
The best holidays start with low fares at Jetstar.com.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5.
Found a story online about a mum who said her 13-year-old boy had been behaving like he was quite entitled and she heard him picking on people who couldn't afford to shop at the designer stores. And so she sent him down with $20 of his own pocket money down to the op shop and said, you need to buy your clothes here for a week.
Said, do your best.
And wear them to school so that she could teach him a life lesson and stop him being so entitled.
Yeah, good one.
And we wanted to know, when you have tried to teach your kids a lesson and how you did it. Maureen is in Yokine. Maureen, how did you teach your kids a lesson?
Well, my four-year-old was a picky eater and he didn't like having his fruit. So, and he knew all about starving children in the world and that they didn't like throwing it away. So when I walked into the kitchen and I knew he hadn't finished it that fast, I knew something was up.
Yeah.
So I checked the bin. And sure enough, there were the apples in the bin.
Right.
So I called him over. I asked him what he'd done to the apples. He said he ate them. And I said, really, are you lying to me? And he said, no.
Ooh.
So I opened the bin and there they were. So he had to fish them out of the bin and eat them.
Oh, nice one. A relatively clean bin there, Maureen?
It was. It was a very clean bin at the time. I checked, yes.
And has it worked? Has he ever discarded food again?
Not since then. He's nine and he hasn't done it since then. No. He still remembers it.
Yeah, does he have a strange fascination with eating food out of bins?
Not quite there yet, no.
Well, no dumpster diving. Yeah.
It worked. Good on you, Maureen.
How's them apples? Nice.
Let's go to Beachborough. Ari, how did you teach your kid a lesson?
Well, my I think he might have been about 4 years old, used to pull himself out of the car seat all the time while I was driving.
Oh, right. No.
I didn't know how to stop him. So one day I decided to drive to the police station, asked one of the officers to come out.
Oh.
Spoke to him and he said, Eric, if you do this again, you'll have to spend a night in a cell. He was shaking and crying.
You'll go to jail.
Yeah, he'll go to jail. So,
right,
he's never done it again.
Oh, brilliant.
Gee, Ari, did any part of you at the time feel like, oh, this is a bit cruel?
I was devastated. I wanted to cry myself because he was screaming and going, no, Mum, I won't do it again.
Yeah, that was the tasering. That was the problem.
Yeah, I know they're going to double demerits over Easter, but this is getting serious.
Oh, well, but it worked, Ari. He never jumped out of the seat again?
Never again, and he now wants to be a police officer.
Oh, well done. Good result, Mum.
This is good parenting.
Yeah. Taser your kids.
Barbara's in Yokine. Barbara, how have you taught your kids a lesson?
My son wouldn't get ready for school on time, and every day we were late for school, and he just wouldn't get dressed in time. So one day I said to him, next time you're like that, I'm going to take you to school in your pyjamas.
Mm.
So I took him to school in his pyjamas, parked outside, got the headmaster, he came and got him out of the car, took him back into the school while he was wearing his pyjamas, and in the boys' changing rooms, he actually got him dressed into his school uniform.
Oh, wow.
The walk of shame.
In the meantime, all his friends and everybody saw him walking into the school with his pyjamas, holding on to the headmaster's hand.
Right.
Oh, Barbara, I bet. How early was he ready the next day?
He never did that again either.
Yeah, he's never taken his uniform off.
Slept in it.
No.
Good one, Barbara. Well done.
Excellent. Nice work, Barb.
The Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber.
Shut up. The boys on the radio.
He's an AFL superstar, a Doig medalist for Frio's Best and Fairest, and he's our man inside the Fremantle Dockers. It's Lockie Neal on Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast.
And he snuck into the studio last second like a fleet-footed midfielder. He is lucky.
Yes.
Yeah, g'day, champ. How are you?
G'day. Yeah, going well, thank you. Just had my morning coffee and up and about now. Oh,
nice. Getting a bit of a buzz.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
Oh, it's nice.
Still came in cool as a cucumber, though.
Yeah.
Lockie, I mean, the team, you had a bad first game. But, I mean, this is also a quick way to see where the weaknesses lie, right? So what's the focus been on training this week?
Yeah, exactly. We've had a really good review. We thought our effort was there most of the day. There was a couple of patches where we let ourselves down, but giving that effort sort of gave the coaching staff a pretty clear understanding as what went wrong. And we just tried to blast our way through them a little bit too much early and sort of ran on a bit too much emotion at the start and couldn't get going, and we couldn't find them defensively. We've got the structures in place to be able to do it, but we didn't execute that. And then just our forward line, our entries were, we were just kicking it long a little bit too much.
Haphazard,
yeah. Yeah, just our chemistry wasn't quite there. So a couple of clear focuses for us this week, and we're confident that we can fix those pretty quickly.
It's so much fun now watching the footy now that we know you, because I saw you get that first clearance of the game. And, go on, Lockie, go long. I noticed in the paper today talking about focusing on locking the ball inside 50, and I thought you actually started that really well.
Mm.
That forward pressure at the beginning of the game was awesome, but you're suggesting that maybe that was almost too much too soon, and you can't keep that up for the whole game. Is that
the
emotional side of it?
Yeah, we probably didn't sustain that pressure for long enough, obviously. And they were able to get some pretty easy goals out the back, and we felt like we were slaving away trying to keep it inside 50, and then all of a sudden they'd kick two or three in a row. So
bloody good team.
Can be a bit deflating, and yeah, they are. Yeah. I think they're going to be a really good side. And but yeah, we're really positive. It's been a good couple of days at the club, and looking forward to Essendon this week. It should be, they'll be a really good team as well. But
it's pretty tough playing Port, but they've obviously gotten players like Jack Watts and a few others into the club there. They've recruited to try and win a flag, let's be honest. But you want to go hard against them early at home, because it's a loud crowd, Port Adelaide. If you can make them quiet early, it's a big advantage.
Yeah, they have a great supporter base there, and they're loud and proud, and certainly felt that on the weekend.
Yeah.
And as you said, the recruits that came in made an immediate impact. I think Watts kicked three, and Motlop, with his pace and his skill, was quite damaging.
Yeah. How much do you think about the fixtures at the start? I mean, do you try not to let it, you know, psych you?
I don't really. We've got Gold Coast the week after, but I don't really know too far ahead, to be honest. I'm not sure if that's just me or.
You know, you had two home games in a row, though, mate.
Yeah, I knew that. I think we've got four of out of our next five at home, which is pretty cool.
Yep.
When you're playing the black and red the next week, you don't think past that. You're playing the Mighty Bombers.
Yeah, when you know you've got a chance of winning.
Yeah.
I don't think we're thinking past the new soundtrack, hey, pre-game.
What's that?
Have you got a new soundtrack?
I'm not sure.
They're playing a couple of new songs. One's a surprise, so it's a surprise to you as well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I've got no idea. So before games, I usually have to ask Jules what time I'm playing.
So hang on. So let me get this right. You don't know what teams you're playing for the season. You don't know what time the games are. You don't know when you come out on stage.
Yeah.
Lachlan Neal, thanks for coming in.
I think there'll be a bit of Purple Rain playing before the game too. I'd imagine.
That'd be nice.
And is there a former great kicking a goal before the game?
I've got no.
You don't know? That's terrific.
Yeah, you guys should just fill me in.
You just know that there'll be smoke on the ground at the start from the fireworks. Okay, Stephen Hill, Joel Hamling, both great players, veterans, they're coming back.
I think both of them are available. Joel, I think he was a little bit underdone coming into round one, so he played at Peel and Boyle reports played really well. And
you'd love me calling him a veteran, wouldn't he? He's won a flag, I guess, for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, exactly. And Stephen, he's been training really hard over the last few weeks to get himself right. He trained with the boys yesterday, and he'll go again Thursday, and hopefully he'll be right, because he's a crucial player for us.
Mm. And first game at Optus, but Fremantle Football Club have won a game at Optus. That was the AFLW. Yeah. Great to see Dana Hooker and also Ebony Antonio making All-Australian, which is great last night.
Yeah, I saw that, and I had a little bit to do with those girls throughout the year, and they're both great people and deserved that. And I think did Dana finish runner-up in the
MVP. She did, one of the equal runners-up.
MVP, so yeah, very cool. That's fantastic.
Right. Well, if you've got any questions about next week's match, shoot the questions through to us. We'll do some prep for you. We'll let you know next week what's going on. Saturday. It's Saturday at 4:30.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
So if you could make sure you put that into your calendar.
Yeah. And you're playing footy, not cricket, mate.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Probably wouldn't want to be playing cricket at the moment.
No, absolutely not. Hey, Lockie, good to see you, mate. All the best on the weekend.
Thanks, guys.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber.
Let's find out more of what's going on in South Africa with respected cricket writer from the Cape Town Chronicle, Rudy Van Smeetens. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Claresy, Matt and Kimber. What a pleasure to be on the Big Breakfast.
Oh, Rudy, it's great to have you. Now, it's been a big deal in Australia. What's been the reaction to this in South Africa?
Well, thank you, Kimba. And what can I just say? What a beautiful name that is, Kimba, like a white lion. You'll be so welcome here in South Africa. Just don't pack any sticky tape, for goodness sake. Obviously, the reaction has been, we never had a very high opinion of Australian cricketers anyway. So we're starting at a pretty low base.
Really?
But Cameron Bancroft, you know, a bit bumbling. Why was he using yellow fluorescent tape?
Yeah.
It was like a beacon for the cameras, you know? He should, and they still couldn't get it to swing. He should have wrapped it up halfway like we used to with tennis balls as children.
That's so true.
And Rudy, isn't this a bit rich? I mean, Faf du Plessis has twice been embroiled in ball tampering allegations and...
I'm going to stop you there, Matt, because I know where you're going, all right? Now, Faf du Plessis was caught, yes, rubbing the cricket ball on his zipper. I think you call it the fly of your trousers.
Yeah.
He was, and it was alleged that he was trying to rough up the cricket ball. That is not true. Faf was playing a lot of cricket. He was at a very low ebb. He was missing the warm embrace of the people that he loved.
Oh.
When he was rubbing the cricket ball on his zipper trousers, this was not the act of a ball tamperer, but a cry for help from a man who was very lonely. And the other thing he did,
yeah,
some say he was using a sweetie, a mint, to create a kind of sugary saliva syrup to coat the ball. That is incorrect. Faf is a very proud South African man. One time, as a joke, Fanny de Villiers told him that his breath was a little bit wrong in the morning. Faf never lived that down. To this day, he will not go out in public without a sweetie.
Oh, Rudy, as cricket fans, we're copping it. I guess it's great in the short term to have a crack at we Aussies. But look, as the game as a whole is damaged by this, are there really any winners, Rudy?
Well, I guess the only real winner is the camera operator, because what a terrific shot that was. I mean, that is Oscar-winning camera work, isn't it? Poor old Bancroft fiddling around with his trousers, trying to stick the sticky tape downstairs. He probably got a waxing that he wasn't prepared for. He might be ready for next year's Mardi Gras. So, no, obviously, no winners here. We want cricket to be, you know, beyond reproach. But there's a little bit of schadenfreude going on here in South Africa, because anything that brings you Aussies down, we love.
Well, we'll take him as an opening batsman, schadenfreude. We'll take that. It's just not cricket, Rudy. Thanks for your time.
My absolute pleasure.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. The lowest fares guaranteed. Jetstar.com. Thanks to their price beat guarantee. Conditions apply.